Up here?
Yeah.
All right. Mike's Dairy Township guest. All right.
What is your passport for the guest here, Mike? Can you ask?
I feel like it might be Dairy Township, but I don't know.
Should I ask?
Yeah, David will know.
Yeah, David will know.
What's the password?
Dairy Township, all lowercase.
All lowercase. Cool.
No spaces.
No spaces.
No apostrophes.
Why would there be apostrophes?
Dairy Dash Township. You never know. To keep it all this.
Steve, how you doing?
Steve, could you please ask people to sign in during your announcement? Please make sure to sign in.
Well, you guys could sign in if you didn't sign in yet. Okay, well, I guess you
discussing whose job it is to fix it.
Yes, I talk about
government.
That doesn't sound like government at all.
Yeah, not at all.
It's
not my job.
Yeah.
That does get annoying after a while.
Yeah, now that you point it out, I would have never noticed it.
That's not even.
Oh, my God.
Darn,
you don't hear it.
That's
not
a radar.
guys going to call the March 16th, 2022 meeting of the Derry Township Zoning Hearing Board is called to order. I want to make everybody aware that it is and has been the policy of Derry Township to record meetings for the purposes of accurate notes and posting on the township website. This meeting is being recorded for those purposes. As I think you may have heard Sandy say, and David, if you have not signed in the back, please, please do so. We really appreciate it if you do. It makes our note-keeping for minutes and for testimony a whole lot easier if we've got your name written on that sign-in sheet. So if you haven't done it, please do so. We appreciate that. Okay, we'll do a roll call with members. Lindsay Drew.
Here.
Cindy Ballard.
Here.
Mike Angelo.
Here.
Tom DiDonato.
Here.
Steve Seidel, that's me, I'm here too. We're all here tonight. Okay, I have a motion to approve the minutes from the February 16th, 2022 meeting.
Second.
Thank you, Sandy.
Second.
Thank you, Mike. Any discussion? Okay, all in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Okay, that motion carries. We have five items of old business here tonight. I think we're going to just confirm that as we have been reading the entire order portion of the orders into the minutes at prior meetings, that we were first going to maybe propose a motion that we slightly adjust that that procedure so that we basically are going to read the substantive parts of the order and not the, we'll leave out the, essentially the standard language about, you know, filing for permit so long as a period of time going forward. So I'll propose a motion to that effect.
Second.
Thank you, Sandy. Any discussion?
Is this, I'm sorry, is this acceptable, Megan?
Yes, it is.
Very good. Thank you.
Yeah, Tom, just for clarification, this was a procedure we put in place. Well, I think about a year and a half, 2 years ago, to just be clearer about what we're approving at our meeting, as opposed to simply stating that a decision has been adopted, and then the parties have to go wait till it gets posted on the website or call into the office the next day. So it's really to have the public and the applicant be able to be aware of what's the general gist of the decision.
Very good. Yep, thank you.
Thank you, Tom. Any other discussion? Okay, all in favor?
Did you make the motion?
I made the motion. Yes, thank you. And
Aye.
Okay, any opposed? No. Okay, that motion passes. So so with that in mind, I will now go through these five decisions.
Do you want them?
Sure. Or just get it from here. Okay, so the first is adoption of the decision in the case of Brian M. Wheeler, case number 2021-16. So the proposed order is number one, the applicant's request for a variance from section 225-401.2.1.B regarding construction on areas with slopes in excess of 20% is granted. The applicant may construct the single family residence while disturbing no more than 0.406 acres of the property with slopes in excess of 20%. Except as otherwise permitted by the ordinance. Number two, the relief granted herein is strictly contingent on the property's other 3.425 acres with slopes in excess of 20% remaining undisturbed or wooded. Number three, in addition, the relief granted herein is strictly contingent upon the applicant maintaining the 100 feet wooded buffer from the Jonathan Eschenauer Memorial Trail in a natural state. So do I have a motion to approve that decision?
So moved, Lindsay Drew.
Okay, thank you.
Sandy Ballard.
Okay, any discussion? All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Aye. Any opposed? Okay, that motion carries 5-0. Okay, our second second decision today is in the case of Drury Southwest Incorporated, case number 2021-17. Again, I will read the proposed order. Number one, the applicant's request for a variance from section 225-501.58.A.7.D.3 regarding maximum height is denied. The applicant's number two, the applicant's request from section 225-1007.9.C regarding an extension of time to secure a zoning permit, building permit, or certificate of use and occupancy is moot. Do I have a motion to adopt that decision? Thank you, Sandy. Second?
I'll second.
Okay, thank you, Tom. Any discussion? Okay, all in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Okay, that motion carries 5-0 as well. Our next case is adoption of the decision in the case of Daniel J. Smith, case number 2022-01. Okay, number one, the applicant's request for a special exception from section 225-502.1 regarding the operation of a bed and breakfast is granted. The applicant may establish a bed and breakfast at the subject property as represented during the hearing of this matter. Number two, the relief granted herein shall be strictly contingent upon there being no parking spaces on the lot between the front facade and the front lot line. Do I have a motion to adopt that?
I'll make a motion.
Second. Okay.
Tom made the motion. Sandy seconded. Okay. Any discussion? All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Any opposed? Okay. That passes 5-0 as well. Our next case is adoption of a decision in the case of Dialysis Care Center, aka Home Dialysis Center, LLC. Case number 2022-02. Okay, number one, the applicant's request for a special exception from section 225-602B regarding expansion of non-conforming use of land by between 25% and 50% of the non-conforming floor area or land use area is granted. The applicant may construct the proposed expansion containing 1,714 square feet or 46% of the building's existing floor area. Do I have a motion to adopt that decision?
So moved, Lindsay Drew.
Thank you, Lindsay.
Second, Tom DiDonatis.
Tom. Any discussion on that? Okay, all in favor?
Aye.
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 Any opposed? That motion carries 5-0 as well. Okay, our last decision tonight is adoption of decision in the case of RPM Signs and Lighting, case number 2022-03. Okay, number one, the applicant's request for a variance from section 225-401.4.F.C.1, table 38, special note number two regarding the location of a wall sign is granted. Number two, the applicant's request for a variance from section 225-401.4.F.C.1-Table 38 regarding the height of a wall sign is withdrawn. Do I have a motion to adopt that?
So moved, Lindsay Drew.
Thank you, Lindsay.
Second, Sandy Allen.
Thank you, Sandy. Any discussion? Okay, all in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? That motion carries 5-0 as well. Okay, that concludes our old business. So we now have three cases tonight of new business. We will start with a hearing in the case of Matthew and Melinda Curran. And if you'd please come to the podium. Will you both be testifying today?
Sure.
Tonight?
Yes.
Is there anyone else that's going to be testifying on your behalf other than yourselves?
No, just us.
Okay. So we need to swear you in first. So if you'd both raise your right hand, please.
Yes.
I do.
Thank you. Okay. You can proceed with your presentation. So we do have your application. You know, you can assume that the board members have reviewed your application, but please, you know, take us through the various points. And I think, should we clarify the clarification about the bathroom area first?
Yes.
Yeah. So I think let's just get on the record and clarify, David. Maybe before you start your testimony, I believe you had some discussion and provided some additional information to David Habig from the township. And so, David, if you just kind of summarize what's not required insofar as the application.
Yes. So part of the application requested a variance from the side setback regarding the master bedroom and master bathroom and walk-in closet, seeking relief 5.3 feet. And that is down here on the screen as addition two. And this is on page 5 of the application and supporting information provided to the board. This will not need a variance as it is, as the house itself is an existing non-conforming structure. And the addition is less than 25% of the total floor area, as the numbers provided from the architect or designer, Brett Warren, show that the living space of that house is 1,660 feet. The 144 square foot expansion results in 8.6% of living space being added, which is under the 25%. So that specific request for a variance is not required, as it does not meet the requirements for board approval.
And David, is it also it looks like it's further from the property line than the existing house? Is that one of the criteria as well, or not?
Yes, as the proposed addition does not encroach further into the setback, it is a by right expansion.
Okay, so it doesn't make the encroachment any worse, basically.
Correct.
Okay, great. Okay, so do we need the applicant to formally withdraw that piece? Or?
We can just have them confirm that they're withdrawing.
Right, okay, so maybe let's start with that. You know, if you would. Are you going to confirm that you're going to withdraw that part of the application?
I guess we can withdraw that ordinance variance. You can see that it's about a 2-foot difference. It's 2 foot further back from the existing corner of the house.
Right. Okay. So we'll note that. So we'll focus tonight then on the other portion of your application, which is for the variance for the garage on the other side of the house.
Correct. So you can see in the diagram that if you're looking at the house, the front right corner, it winds up being about 8 square feet over the setback line. So, and that it's just a corner of the garage. We kind of toyed with several different ways of putting it, but if we put the garage in the back of the house, then we would have to add more impervious land, and also it would completely eliminate the view of our backyard, which we enjoy. And also, you know, it would eliminate us being able to see the kids out back as well, which is important to us. It's minimal. I also do have a letter from the neighbors on that side of the house. I don't know. We just got it today, so I don't know if anybody would like it, but we went over the plans with them yesterday and spent some time, and they asked questions and said that they don't have a problem with it at all.
The neighbor on
that side at 2070 Joanne Avenue.
Bring the letter up.
Sure.
Is this your original?
That's the original, yeah, but you can have it. I'm sure that we could get another copy from them if we need it.
Okay, go ahead and continue.
So really, we're just asking for that variance of about 8 square feet. We also thought about pushing it back further, but our driveway ends at the back of where the existing home is. So we were trying to also keep in mind of not adding too much impervious ground. So we felt like this was the best design for what we wanted.
So this question for you, does the garage extend to basically even with the patio?
Yeah, so it'll, yeah, so you can see, well, can you go back to that last one? That one right there. So you can see the patio that's in that picture is existing, that's currently there now, and then the garage would extend back there so that, you know, we could drive lawn equipment out into the backyard and things like that.
So that's, it's an existing cover?
It is, the cover is not existing, but there was a concrete patio there in about 4 years ago. We redid that concrete pad, and we had them put the footer in preparation for this.
So, you know, for a variance, as you probably saw on the application, you know, there are 5 criteria that you need to meet to warrant a variance. So can you just quickly, you kind of touched upon some of those, but just make sure you touch on those as you present tonight, so we get it in the testimony.
I'm sorry, which ones am I missing?
It's on page 4 of your application.
I don't have that in front of me.
Okay.
There are four. Okay. So the physical circumstances, you can see from the lot lines that our house is sort of skewed about 40 degrees, which kind of makes expanding in any direction difficult. We talked about physical circumstances. The house was built in 63, so we didn't cause any of that. We've only been there since 2014. The variance won't alter the character of the neighborhood. The house next to us on the right is also a rancher. We're trying to keep sort of the same style of house, just sort of expanded a little bit to make sure that it meets our needs a little bit better. And I think I already spoke about number 5, that little 8-square-foot corner of the garage is pretty minimal. It doesn't even actually cover our current driveway right now, so working with the building designer, Brett, that was kind of the best case scenario that we could configure to meet our needs and also be the least amount of variance that we would need.
What is the dimension from the property line to the closest, you know, corner there?
The corner of that, it's about 12 feet 6 inches. And so I guess it's about a 2.5 foot variance.
12.6 or 12 foot 6 inches?
12.6 feet, so I guess a little more than 12.
Okay. All right, just want to make sure we get the right information in the order. Okay. Thank you. Questions from the board?
I just want to confirm, so the request of relief per your application is 3.4 feet, but on the plans, it's about 2.4 feet. So I just want to confirm the actual relief you're seeking.
I believe that maybe I made a mathematical error on the
application. Okay, I just wanted to confirm that for the record. So you're seeking relief of 2.4 feet from that side setback?
Yes.
Okay.
Great. Any other questions? No.
No.
Okay. Thank you for your, thank you for being here tonight and for your presentation. The board has.
Is there a public comment?
Oh yes.
That.
I'm sorry. Thank you. We did hear from your neighbor. Is there anybody from the public here tonight that wants to comment on this case? Is there something more you want to say, Mr.
Okay.
No. Okay. All right. Well, thank you very much. The board has 45 days to render a decision, and you have 30 days thereafter to appeal if you agree with that decision. Okay, our next case, we're actually going to ask if the applicant is willing to, for the purposes of the hearing, consolidate these two cases so we can swear you in once, and we can also cover some of the background information that's going to be common to both. Cover it once. There'll still be two separate decisions that will be issued for each of the two pieces, if that's agreeable with the applicant. Okay, so whoever is here representing the Commonwealth, okay, so if you please come up to the podium and... Yeah, and anyone who's going to testify, if we can swear everybody in here, get everybody's name.
Major
and
Major can, he's four.
So if we can maybe just, even though we have asked you to sign in, we can get your names and what your...
Have a business card, yeah.
Sure.
But, no one's going to get, so it's pronounced Narkevich, but it spells like Narkowitz. But anyway.
Just put it on the record.
So if you want to swear the four witnesses.
We still want to get your names on the record. We still need to swear you in. The business cards help us make sure we don't butcher your name.
First name is Gerard, G-I-R-B-R-D, and last name is Hughes, H-U-G-H-E-S.
I'm sorry, what was your first name? How do you spell that?
G-I-R-A.
After the hearing, I'll look at them.
Have
they all said their names
on
the record?
Hold on. I want to make sure. No, you gave cards. I want to make sure.
Everybody's names.
I want to make sure everyone has said their name for the record, please. So, because we also are recording this meeting, so those that are listening to the recording need to hear it too.
Daniel Brown.
Please say that again. Okay, thank you.
B-R-O-U-G-H-T-O-N.
You said Bradley?
Nathaniel.
No, but your last name.
Broughton.
Oh, Broughton. Okay, see, I heard that totally wrong.
B-R-O-U-G-H-T-O-N.
Okay, next.
Ken Stuck, S-T-U-C-K.
Okay, thank you. Next.
George Bivens, B-I-V-E-N-S.
I'm sorry, you're going to have to do that one more time.
Vincent Uglialoro, U-G-L-I-A-L-O-R-O.
Okay, now we can swear. And again, give us your name, please, sir.
Mine's David Narkevich, Assistant Chief Counsel for the Department of General Services, Commonwealth of Pennsylvania, representing both the Pennsylvania State Police and the Department of General Services in this hearing.
Okay, great. So if you...
N-A-R-K-I-E-W-I-C-Z.
Thank you. Okay, now you can proceed.
I think since the major's here, I'm going to have him give you an overview of the project, but Literally, we are in the early stages of building a brand new State Police Academy up on top of the hill that will be state of the art. And most of that has gone through the township, so we didn't need to be in front of the zoning hearing board. But we're here today for two separate things. The signs that we would like to use out front on all three sides, and any other issues, we need to come before you for a special exception for communication towers over 50 feet, and ours will be 120. So we're doing, as I understand the agenda, we're doing the sign case first. But because they're consolidated, I only have to have Major Bivens come up here once to just briefly give you an overview of the project. So Major Bivens.
Thank you. Good evening. So the Pennsylvania State Police is in the middle of a project to replace our existing training academy at 175 East Hershey Park Drive. We plan to keep the existing academy entirely operational through this building process. What we're going to do is build around the existing academy. Most of the development will be focused in the same area that the academy is right now. We've acquired significantly more property around it, basically that whole hilltop that the academy sits on, so that we do have the ability to add some pasture area and things for the horses. But if I can refer you over here to the diagram that's up here, essentially what we're going to do, and if you can hover where the marquee building is right now, that is just in front of where the existing academy is right now. It'll be perched on a hill overlooking Hershey. It's a beautiful five-story aluminum and glass building that will afford us additional classroom space, dormitory space, and the administrative offices, as well as some other tactical training opportunities inside of there. So the top three floors will be dormitory rooms. We'll be able to house 300 trainees in there. And those are not only Pennsylvania State Police cadets, but we're also doing a lot of training for other agencies, the Attorney General's Office, Inspector General's Office. We've just entered into an agreement with the Capitol Police, and we're doing training for a number of other municipal departments here as well, also the Fish and Boat Commission. So it's really an academy that serves many other agencies that serve the citizens of the Commonwealth, plus some of the local agencies that serve more of this, this region. Now, behind that, there will be two other buildings connected to it. One is a new gymnasium and training tank building, also a medical treatment facility there. The other one connected to it, I'm sorry, this isn't a really good diagram, but okay, so again, that slightly arching building is the marquee building. Sticking out in the front is a large 500-seat auditorium with a glass front looking out over the valley. Attached to it behind, physical education building to the right. To the left is the indoor range. So we're going to add a 25-lane, 50-yard shooting range. Actually, it takes some of the activity off of the outdoor range that we currently have and we will be maintaining, but we're able to move some of that activity indoors and take care of some of the noise in the area, plus it affords us some other opportunities with training to be able to do dim light training during the day and so forth. So as I said, the existing shooting range will stay. If you go to the left of the indoor range, there's an outdoor tactical village. It's a beautiful training facility. Will allow us to do all sorts of building entries, civil disorder training, and many other types of scenario-based training that we are moving toward in the State Police Academy. There's an apartment building, convenience store, bank, pharmacy, all types of other buildings that you might find in the community, and allows our people to train in a variety of scenarios. To the left of that is a groundskeeping and automotive maintenance area. Just to the south of all of that, a new Bureau of Emergency and Special Operations. So those folks handle everything from our SWAT responses. Bomb Squad is based out of there. K-9 program is out of there. And those are all existing programs. And there's many other things. Wiretaps for the entire Commonwealth, all the training, and many of the wiretaps themselves are conducted in that building. all of those functions currently exist. We're really not adding a lot of program to this whole design. We're simply modernizing the campus, bringing it into the current era so that we can do a lot more scenario-based training as opposed to simply doing classroom training and trying to simulate. Far better to send people into buildings to have streets, that kind of thing, than to put cones on a parking lot, for example, and have them pretend that there are streets there and all. If we go up here, the museum is already there. There's a small garage that's being built adjacent to the museum that will house 6 historic vehicles and allow them to be displayed for the community so that anyone that comes up to visit the museum will also be able to see those cars and they'll be protected. If you go further to the north, there's another tactical village there, a call-out village. Again, different types of buildings there. There's a mobile home park. There's a church. There's a small schoolhouse. And then a couple of different types of residences to allow us to simulate entries or searches of various type places, a two-story home versus a ranch versus a split entry, a walkout basement versus one that's not. And so all of those things are contained in that call-out village. As you go further back, you'll see there's a running track to allow us to do timed runs for the cadets. Cadet parking will be placed in the middle of that cadet track, and the building to the left of the track is a clothing warehouse. We currently have a small warehouse on the facility right now. We're combining operations with another facility we have over on Derry Street, and the entire department's central supply and clothing warehouse will be located back there with an entrance off of Kiefer Road. If you come back down on the design, the other thing that we're doing is down to the bottom right corner here, a new stable and garage for the mounted detail. We have a beautiful facility plan for down there that will house up to 30 horses, garage to house the horse trailers and trucks and the other equipment that's used to support that operation. That is connected directly into a large pasture that you may have seen some of the fencing already going in over on the front of the property. The horses will have use of that pasture. We think it's, first of all, it's good for the horses. It allows us to comply with the conservation district requirements for space for the horses, but it also puts the horses out there. We think the community will enjoy driving past on Hershey Park Drive and seeing them. We will be, the only thing that's not up over there is a white fence that is proposed, or another that is planned. It should be installed any time now, similar to what's along the rest of Hershey Park Drive, so that it keeps that same kind of appearance. Maple trees were already planted there, and there's an actual horse fence back behind where that white fence will be constructed. So the horses will be out there, and then if we go back up to the north here, they will also be able to cross the back hill. It'll be gated, but there's another pasture planned for back there as well, again, to allow us plenty of opportunity to pasture the horses and to ensure that there's good space for all of them. I think that's, without going into a lot of detail in the building, I'd be happy to answer any questions you have, but really what it's doing is allowing us to modernize the training experience for our cadets and for a lot of other agencies, and also upgrade the facilities that we're using for the people over to emergency and special operations.
Just some, spatially trying to picture where all this is. So where you were mentioning about the pastures and the stables, there's an existing structure there now in the corner of Laudermilk and Hershey Park Drive, right?
Yes.
So it'll replace that, and then the new construction of the track and those things will be back along Swatera Road now. That's just currently the vacant field.
That's correct.
Across from the cemetery?
Yes.
Okay. Sorry, I was trying to, watch the map and picture.
So the front hill, that road coming up off of Hershey Park Drive, will remain the same. The BISO building will go over. There's an existing kennel facility there right now. The new BISO building will go right over top of that. That's going to be demolished and a larger building constructed there that will also have a little smaller kennel facility behind it. Over where you see our existing building, right just to the front of that, we're going to have to we're going to go across the crest of that hill with this new building. And so while the front of the building will be 5 stories tall, the back one will actually be dug into the hill. It'll be 4 stories from the back. And we will have to take off the far right wing of the academy now. We'll have to come off so that they can do the construction. The building would actually hit the corner, and they need room for cranes. Other than that, the rest of that building will remain there until the first phase of construction is complete. We can move into the, what they're calling the marquee, the main building, and once we occupy and start training there, then demolition will occur for the rest of the building. And I described those other outbuildings. The gymnasium will be already built around that academy, but the indoor firing range will be built directly over top of the existing academy structure.
I see you there's kind of a tree line there, right? Where is the new construction up on top of the hill in relation to that tree line? And is that tree line remaining, or is that tree line?
Most of the tree line will be remaining. We've had landscape architects in who are doing an amazing job at trying to do tree preservation. So over, if you were looking from Hershey Park Drive up, there will be a few trees, a small area of that that I don't know that you can really see very well from Hershey Park Drive because it kind of wraps back around the hill. A few of those trees will have to come out, but everything else that's out around the front there will be remaining, and we're actually adding a lot of other trees onto the property. All of the streets that are going up in are tree-lined, and the entire campus has a lot of all native Pennsylvania species, but they've done a great job of really trying to make it a beautiful campus and actually increase the tree count and preserving all of the larger, nicer trees that we have there on the property.
Maybe jumping ahead a little bit, so if I am, I'll wait for your answer. But so we're talking about the communication antenna piece of this. You referred to a tank that's coming down. There's two tanks up there, right?
Yes.
There's one that the Pennsylvania American Water owns, which is, I think, the one you can see there in the blue.
To the very top blue. Is the Pennsylvania American
and
Water.
And then there's
one. The lower one.
Leg tank, correct?
That tower is coming down.
Is that what's coming down?
Yes, sir.
And that is where, over right there. Okay.
That's right there. And in its place, there will be an amphitheater, an outdoor amphitheater constructed, again, preserving all of the very large trees that are all around that area, making a very nice natural area where we can also do some training out there.
Okay. So the communications antenna is going in a different location than that.
It's up closer to the American water tank.
I just want to confirm, and again, I don't want to jump ahead for your testimony, but since the one of the things that you're seeking a variance for is with the signage,
yes.
So this sounds beautiful and quite an impressive facility, but I just want to confirm there's actually not going to be a lot of this that is visible from the road, except for the new construction for the stables, correct?
No, actually, the main building that I'm talking about will be very visible
from
there.
That's not now, because currently you can't really see very.
Right, correct.
Okay.
But that part, now the rest of the campus will not be visible from the road.
Okay.
But that beautiful steel glass or aluminum glass will be, and I don't know if we have any. Anyway, it's a beautiful design that I think will be very appealing to anyone looking up at it from Hershey Park Drive. And really, that's one of our hopes with all of this. You know, in the climate that law enforcement operates in right now, anything that we can do to increase visibility to the public, increase the idea of professionalism, I think is a good thing. And so one of the things we're hoping to do is also draw people's attention to it. Perhaps it's somewhere that, you know, kids that are coming past, or maybe they think one day they would like to be a Pennsylvania State Trooper. And it's an impressive-looking place. The facility that's up there now was built in the late 1950s, occupied first in 1960. And while our people have done a very nice job of maintaining it, it is extremely outdated, very expensive to maintain, and just not conducive to training. It's the kind of place that while the history of it and what goes on there is impressive to people who come in for a tour to look at it, it is not something that is awe-inspiring. We believe the new facility will be.
Great. Thank you.
Other questions? Okay. Go ahead and then continue with the rest of
your testimony. David, if you can go down to the bottom of State Police Academy Road there, but let's just cover this, where the signs are going to go, just for the board's identification. So right now there is a sign down there, right near.
There is, and we're proposing another sign to replace that sign. There will be three entrances total into the property, and it would be a sign at each of those entrances. So one would be right there replacing the current sign that, that exists. Another would be back on Swatara Road near the stables, and would be at the bottom of that road. And then the third would be back. I mentioned that there's the new warehouse going in back there. There will be a sign on the road at the entrance off of Kiefer Road. Now, the sign that's back there will be smaller than the one out front, but all of them done very tastefully. And again, we've got a world-class architect and their firm that's designing this. They've really designed it to all come together and to be something that enhances the beauty of the area. It doesn't take anything away from it.
And currently, there's a sign off of Hershey Park Drive.
Yes.
Is there a sign also there at Swatara Road?
There is a smaller sign there right now.
But there's nothing up.
Because the museum entrance and things is up there.
Right.
So there's a smaller sign there right now. The sign that we're proposing will certainly be much more attractive than what is there right now.
And actually, David, if you can just go to the left a little bit more. The second one's actually a sign for the. There's a separate sign to the left that's for the State Police Museum. So right now we actually have two separate signs at that entrance. We're going to consolidate them and just have one sign.
Okay. And then on Kiefer Road right now, there's no signage up there
now,
right?
There's no road back there that comes up onto our property.
Okay.
So as that road's constructed,
right,
there will be a smaller sign there as well. Similar design to the others, just smaller.
As the state right there, David. I also wanted to cover with the major that the current police academy is totally accessible from both State Police Museum Drive, which comes up from Swatara, and from Hershey Park Drive, which comes up from 743 in the front of Hershey Park Drive. But when we build the new building, where are the access points, and will that through street be eliminated?
The through street will be eliminated. Now, emergency vehicles will have a pathway around there, but it's not intended for traffic. So some traffic will come in from the back on Kiefer Road. We're actually trying to take some of the truck traffic off of Hershey Park and the entrance out there, and they'll be coming around the back. So right now, deliveries come in either up the Police Academy Drive in the front, or they come up around by where the stables are back there. And that's kind of a difficult intersection back there for them. So we actually want to take them away from that intersection, clear around to the back on Kiefer Road, and then they'll be able to come in that back way right up through there.
And for the importance of down on Hershey Park Drive, you'll see it when David brings it up later, but it will say Pennsylvania State Police main entrance. Is that correct?
Yes.
So you cannot get to the Marquee Building as a normal person coming up Museum Drive or back on North Drive. Is that correct?
That's correct.
So the only way up now, soon to be, will be up State Police Academy Drive.
Yes.
And then same thing, if you remember the public and now you're going to visit the museum, for a member of the public, the only road up is the one off of Swatara. Is that correct?
That's correct.
And then the third building road which will be built goes past the communications tower and the warehouse will be coming off of Kiefer Road. Is that correct?
Yes.
And is that correct that most of the deliveries by truck or otherwise will be coming in that delivery entrance?
They will. That's going to be more of a service entrance to the warehouse, and also they'll be able to come up through and serve some other things, but that's primarily a service entrance back there.
And as far as Kiefer Road goes, how would you describe that in terms of being a busy highway or whatever?
It is not a busy road at all. There's a small amount of local traffic back there.
What about Hershey Park Drive, and then when you go from this view, turn left and go up Lottamillion on 743, how busy are those roads?
Well, those are busy, and certainly certain times of the day have a lot more traffic than others, but there is a substantial amount of traffic. And, of course, in the summertime, as we all know, with tourists and things, it gets quite congested. And this, again, will allow us to get some of the traffic away from that intersection, put it on a less traveled road.
So you're saying trucks will be coming in 743 and turning right on Swatara, or coming in from Kiefer?
I guess it depends on
where they're coming from.
They'll be coming off of 743 onto Swatara over to Kiefer. From either direction on 743.
trying to picture a truck turning right onto Soterra from 743. trying to figure out how that happens.
Well, again, not all of the trucks that are delivering there are large.
Oh, large, trucks, okay.
You know, semi
okay.
Trucks. They're you know, smaller box trucks and things like that. You know, there are a limited number of companies that deliver there.
Gotcha.
They're just regular suppliers, and they're very familiar with the route. And
I was only thinking like a big truck.
And we've had there's an engineering firm that has been working with us on this design, along you know with the architectural firm that's contracted, and they have done a lot of studies to make sure what can turn, what the radiuses are, because we also operate you know our horse trailers and things like that out of there that are fairly large, and
yeah.
So they've made sure that all of these intersections will accommodate everything that that we're proposing.
Gotcha. Thank you.
Is there a traffic signal proposed there?
No. There's the one at the
one
on Hershey
Street.
Park.
Right. There's one at the intersection of Hershey Park Drive and 740 where Laudermilk turns, but you're not proposing a new light there.
Not, no.
Oh, okay. You can see the traffic light from Soterra Road.
Well, I know.
Right. Yeah,
I
mean,
it's close. I'm just
together.
Yeah.
Just confirming for the record. Okay.
Major, with respect to the size of the signs, it's larger. That's why we're here for variances for both the Hershey Park entrance and the Laudermilk Road / Rivera entrance. Is the reason, one of the main reasons why we're asking for a larger than permitted sign that it's easy to miss if they're driving past either entrance?
It is. And again, we have a lot of people that come from out of the area, a lot of local agencies. You know, certainly our cadets know where the entrance is, or our troopers that work there or that come there regularly for training. But because we do bring a lot of other agencies in, we want them to be able to see it, not have to drive past and make a couple of trips turning, you know, mm-hmm. to come back around to get in there. So, you know, we've tried to find a nice compromise of just big enough that we know they'll see it, but not so large as to be gaudy or take away from anything.
Yeah, that's fine. What David's handing you is an updated, and I apologize, the numbers are really hard to see. I can barely see them. And I apologize for that, but they're revised numbers. The original plan had certain numbers, and when David looked at them, he computed the way the township does and gave us different square footage. And so we're using David's square footage, and that's all was substituted. We file a larger one, you know, for everybody to see later. I'm sorry, just to go back to that.
Do you have any other questions for you?
Possibly. other questions? I think I have one more for you, but
we're going to get to the signs, the specifics with the signer soon, right?
I guess one question I have on signage that's maybe not specific to the sign, but was there any investigation of I'll call it off-site signage that would particularly at Soterra there that would facilitate identifying, you know, turn, you know, 500 feet, something like that. My question really is around, is a bigger sign really going to solve your problem, or is signage, you know, remote from that intersection, which is very tricky there, maybe a more appropriate solution? Was that looked at at all by anyone?
I don't know if you have anything. In our discussions, we really believe that the people that are coming there, you know, for the other two entrances, as I mentioned about the trucks and all that, those folks are going to be regulars that are coming in and out of there. I don't expect it to be a problem. In terms of out on Hershey Park Drive, I really think it's just a matter of, you know, you're going along there, there's brush, there are different things. We just wanted something that will draw the attention. And I don't know that another sign just prior to it, you almost get to the point where there's sign overload along there.
Right.
And so, you know, we hope that people are typically using their phones, GPSs or whatever, and now you see the sign and you know exactly where you need to turn up.
Right. I wasn't so much referring to the Hershey Park Drive sign, but the museum sign, I guess, which will be right there off of Soterra, the entrance right off of Soterra, where it's even if you make it bigger, I'm not sure how visible that is there at that location from either direction, because you're not driving a long straight run. Mm-hmm. Where that sign's going to stick out. So I don't know if that's something that's been looked at.
Steve, just as a clarification, though, Major, if you can confirm, the state police property does not start until Swatara Road, correct?
Yeah, I'm not really clear on that. That's why I'm asking, has it been looked at, whether it's on state police property or
if you're traveling on 743, until you get to Swatara, it is, that's where the property line for the state police property is. So anything before that would not be suitable for a sign because it is not state police land.
That's part of what I'm asking, but the Commonwealth owns any of that property or not. I'm just asking whether that's been looked at as an alternative.
David stayed right where he is. I'm the lawyer. I'm just talking about what we acquired. We acquired all of that land behind Swatara and then behind Kiefer up to a point. But everywhere you see that would be Loudmelick and Swatara to the left of that or to up from that, which would be to the north.
Right.
It's all owned by the Commonwealth now. It used to be owned by Hershey Trust Company.
South of Swatara, you're saying, and south of Kiefer?
South of Swatara, correct.
North of Swatara is not owned by the Commonwealth.
Does the Commonwealth own property north of Swatara?
No. Hershey Estates / Trust still owns all of that, all the way up to the center.
But where Swatara comes down to 743 and joins from there south, we do own that now. Mm-hmm. to the west.
So north of Swatara Road, the Commonwealth would not own any property that they would be able to put a sign on.
No.
Or on the other side of Watermill, to the east.
That's trust land.
Correct.
Just for my own clarification, I think it was an old red farmhouse unit there. Is that owned by you guys too now, or is that you guys bought that from the trust? Okay. Because my concern is by the diagram provided to us as far as the signage there along Swatara and Loudermilk and the entrance, that it looks like the sign is almost parallel to Loudermilk Road instead of perpendicular by the diagram we received just now.
I'll cover that with the sign.
I read it that way too, Tom.
No, I'm not sure how it's oriented there.
Okay, so someone else is going to... Yeah. Okay, all right, very good. Thank you.
Speaking of that structure, is that structure going to remain?
It will not.
It will not. It's going to remain.
Where you see the garage for the stables is about where that... it's called Applehurst, and that's about where that building is now. That will be removed.
That was what my earlier question was.
Is that a taller building, shorter building? I'm just thinking sight lines. Has it changed the sight lines there at all?
It'll be a shorter building.
Other questions right now or no? Please proceed then. Yeah. Thank you.
Thank you, Major.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Next, I'd like to call Nathaniel Broughton, and he's from SLM Engineering in New York. And he'll cover the signs.
Thank you. So I'm Nathaniel Broughton with SLM and based out of New York City. We're the architect of record for the project, and I can cover the signage locations and the signage designs this evening. So we are proposing three signs, as discussed by Major Bivens and David Markevitz, one at the intersection of Police Academy Drive and Hersey Drive, one at the intersection of Police Academy Drive and Swatara Road, and one at the intersection of the new Service Drive and Kiefer Road. The sign off for Hershey Park Drive and the sign of Swatara Road, those will both be the same size, a little bit bigger, and then the sign in the back off Kiefer Road will be a little bit smaller. The primary purpose of these signs is to identify the main access points to the academy, as discussed by the Major and David Narkevitz. There will not be continuous access through the site on Police Academy Drive once the development is complete. If we move on to the signs themselves, all three signs are designed roughly the same. They sit on a plinth of dark concrete masonry units, a split-faced concrete block, with an aluminum sign proper with black lettering on it. The lettering itself is about 7 inches tall, and the signs themselves are about, in total, for the two signs, the sign off Hershey Park and the sign off Swatara Road, they're about 5 feet tall and about 15 I'm going to have to even, we've got to look closer here, 15.5 and 7.8, so about 15'6" long. And those two signs in total are 72.57 square feet.
I'm sorry, what was that number?
72.57 square feet. We're requesting a variance for these two signs as instructed by Mr. Habig. Please exceed the allowance for a freestanding sign in the horizontal dimension and in the total area. So the limit, the horizontal limit for a sign being 8'0", these clocking in at roughly 15'6", and a total allowable area being for a freestanding sign being 32 square feet, and these being a, these being 72.57, we'll say 72.5 square feet, so roughly double the allowable area. And again, sort of in terms of the hardship, as we've been discussing, given the volume and speed of traffic on Pershing Park Drive, having a slightly larger sign to announce the presence of the academy makes sense with the speed of traffic. Also, just in terms of the amount of information on the sign, we've been trying to keep these visible but discreet so as not to have an undue impact on the appearance of Pershing Park Drive, so not making Pennsylvania State Police Academy being sort of a very long or a large number of letters, trying to keep those of a reasonable size lower to the ground so that it's still visible but isn't really obstructing the sightline along Hershey Park Drive. Thus, the sort of the increase in horizontal area. The sign on the back off Kiefer Road is a little bit smaller. It is a total of 10'0" horizontal and 4'0" tall, and its total area is just over the allowable at 36.45 square feet. But in all other respects, it is effectively the same with slightly smaller lettering at 4 7/8 inches tall. All signs clearly sort of designate the purpose of the entrance, be it main entrance, service entrance, or museum entrance, all the signs carry the patch of the seal. So the patch of the state police and the seal as well. In terms of sort of adverse impact, we sort of have been trying to keep them discreet but visible, clear markers of the entry without overly impacting the view of the sort of the appearance of Hershey Park Drive or the surrounding area.
Mr. Broughton, do you know what the current square footage of the sign on Hershey Park Drive and Police Academy Drive is, just for comparison of the proposed?
I do not off the top of my head. Apologies.
Would you mind dropping it something there? Because you can see it in Google Earth. And it'll be at the same location,
it'll
replacing?
Be at the same location, yes.
Mr. Broughton, the physical characteristics of the site, the new State Police Academy will be built on top of the same hill where the existing one is now. Is that correct?
That's correct.
And if you're coming from the Harrisburg area or west or from the north, depending on which direction from the north, when you hit the sign we have proposed at the intersection of Hershey Park Drive and State Police Drive, you cannot see any of the buildings approaching that from, let's say if you're coming from where the Giant Center is. Is that correct?
If you were traveling north on Hershey Park Drive and you hit this intersection of State Police Drive, you would see very little of the building on the top of the hill, as that existing tree line we see on the screen here will remain, and that will cover the vast majority of the building's sort of aspect from this viewpoint.
And the uses across the street, this entrance is on the other side, is an entryway to the Albus, is that correct? And there was also, David, you can go back to, they used to call it Blue Green, I don't know if they still do, that structure that houses primarily tourists is there at the same intersection, is that correct?
That's correct.
And then Tropes is just down on the other side of that visitors, where the visitors stay, is that correct?
That is correct.
Could I ask just a clarifying question? Previously, when I was asking Major Bivens about the visibility relative to the sign, He testified that you would be able to see the new building substantially, but you had just testified not. And so were you speaking only from the south end of the property?
Only from this intersection. If we go up,
so it's only visible from the north,
it is
like the northeast side, not the southern part?
Yes.
Okay.
So if we were to go up to the intersection with Loudermilk, the building will be very visible from that intersection, particularly since, as you can see, there already are that line of existing trees. How there is no tree line at the top of the hill there, the building will be very visible along that hill.
Thanks. And my apologies. I should have clarified that earlier. I was talking from the current sign location.
Yes.
Was speaking to that, all around it.
Understood. From the current side location, the building, while potentially more visible than current, will not be highly visible.
Okay, thank you.
And let's go back up Loudermilk if we can, David. If you're coming from Interstate 78, let's say New Jersey, New York, all those folks, and you're coming south on Loudermilk Road, you also approaching will not see any of the academy or the museum. Is that correct?
That is correct.
So show the zoning board on here whereabouts the proposed sign is going to go for the State Police Museum.
Absolutely. So if we see the current sign exactly there, the new sign will be a little bit more forward of that, a little bit closer to the intersection, still within our setback line. But it'll definitely be more prominent than that existing sign. So it'll be very sort of clearly positioned at the intersection of Police Academy Drive and Sotara Road.
I have a question. I know this isn't really our responsibility to decide where it goes, but I would think coming from that direction, especially at a higher rate of speed, when the brush on the right-hand side behind the guardrail is growing in the summertime, is it at all possible to move the sign into that peninsula between Loudermilk and the access to the museum so that way at a higher rate of speed, people from either direction can see it in ample time for access?
Currently, we had held it on the other side of the road as the setback line for the property basically skirts the Loudermilk side of Police Academy Drive, and we were trying not to locate the sign within the setback area.
Okay.
Let me just add for the record, State Route 743 coming from Granville down is a state highway, is that correct?
That's correct.
And although there's a certain width to Loudermilk Road, is there also a PennDOT have certain right-of-ways that go beyond the edge of
that is correct.
And is that one of the reasons why we originally weren't going to put the sign in that peninsula? Because I'm not sure we can put the right away.
That is correct.
And I think you alluded to the way we measure the signage. Can you go over that? I mean, is there, you're kind of losing some area because of the way we measure it or something?
No, we had originally measured, not included the measurement of the plinth, the base that the sign is sitting on. So we were informed of that, and we corrected that, increasing the area presented this evening.
Okay.
And increasing the height presented this evening.
Okay.
So we had originally only measured the lighter portion above the dark portion.
Oh, okay.
So we increased the area presented to the board this evening, and we were also asked to present these as freestanding signs, not ground signs, as they are sort of a larger area.
Okay.
As they are a larger area.
What color are they? Since this is black.
They're silver and black.
Silver, okay.
And Mr. Broughton, just again for the record, the two signs, the main entrance and the museum entrance, they are going to be constructed on sloping hills, is that correct?
That is correct.
Is that one of the reasons why the particular design is the way it is?
That is correct.
The one in the back will be relatively flat, is that correct?
Yes, it will be much flatter.
Could I also ask from the visibility perspective, are the signs the same for design aesthetic, or was any consideration given to the color of the sign given the placement on Swatera and visibility from the road? because it's right up against the tree line.
The colors are the same, primarily due to the overall aesthetic of the campus. However, given the high contrast of the sign, the dark lettering against the silver background, that will help the sign stand out against the natural features of the site, be it the landscape at the woods at Swatara Road, or the field at the intersection of Hershey Park Drive and Police Academy Drive. So the sign, in terms of the signage, the contrast in particular between the lettering and the back is what really aids in basic visibility.
Okay, so there is significant contrast. It's hard to tell on these to really understand, yeah. You know, that it's not gray, it's silver. So I just wanted to clarify that. Thanks.
Understood.
So, again, back to the Swatara one for the museum. So where that sign is, at least on Swatara Road, is where you'll have both museum people turning in there at Swatara Road and then immediately turning into the access road. Is that correct?
Correct.
And then also you'd have delivery trucks coming in Swatara, not turning in there at the museum and continuing up Swatara Road to Kiefer, correct?
Correct.
Was there any thought to how that sign might be considered to be different so as to direct the traffic to those two different points from that sign there? In other words, a directional arrow or museum this way, you know, deliveries that way or anything like that? So as to, again, avoid confusion. I'm just really concerned about confusion at this intersection given how quick and tight that is and not visible from far away.
We only propose one sign, not two, to direct delivery, because as Major Bivens testified, and frankly, 99% of our deliveries are by folks that already will know that and will know it ahead of time. So we weren't as really concerned about delivery folks as members of the public or people coming from official business in the front. So that was one big reason why we have two substantially larger signs at those entrances and just a smaller one at the delivery. Plus, the delivery, it's not a big road, but they can access it from Sand Beach as well.
Steve, were you just thinking something more of like a directional with like an arrow or something?
Yeah, I mean, you know, like if you bring up the picture of the sign again, I have it in front of me, but, you know, just, you know, where you say museum entrance, I mean, I don't know whether this is even permitted or this puts them into other territory, David, but, you know, to have some kind of a directional, you know, museum entrance with an arrow pointing, you know, to the left so they know they got to go up the hill there and, you know, don't end up driving around, you know, all over Hershey.
But they're are you talking about for museum visitors?
For the museum visitors. I mean, if
traffic of museum visitors?
The truck drivers,
like, what is the volume of museum visitors?
Maybe it's not an issue, but
it's relatively minimal.
Relatively minimal?
Yeah.
Okay. Maybe it's not an issue. I'm just trying to.
Yeah, for the museum, you're probably not talking more than 10, maybe 15 vehicles a day and an occasional bus.
So it's not a large traffic generator.
It is not.
Yeah, I'm more concerned with, right now that road doesn't get much traffic, right? But when you have delivery vehicles coming that way and you also have other members of the public, you know, you're going to end up with a problem there. Kind of a little beyond our jurisdiction, I know, but while we're considering relief, we want to make sure that we're giving you relief that actually helps.
To give you some idea of the deliveries, the current deliveries for, you know, our kitchen, for the cafeteria, for other supplies there, is probably no more than 3 or 4 trucks a day, and they typically come in the morning, make their delivery, and they leave. It may be a box truck, it may be a tractor trailer, refrigerated tractor trailer, and they're gone. There's not a large volume of the deliveries. Now, back at the warehouse, there will be some additional traffic back there, but again, I would not expect more than a few trucks on any given day. We're certainly not introducing a lot of volume on any of those roads. It's just a matter of easier access, taking them out of the mix up on the campus and taking them around the back rather than have to go up through the campus. But, you know, some tractor trailers and box trucks. The state police owns
a box truck and some vans that we deliver from that warehouse out, and then the only tractor trailers coming in would be, you know, the few that come in, and you're not looking at more than one or two a day.
And most, you testified, would know where they're going prior, like their repeat
the
deliveries.
Same. So for the kitchen, it's the same company that delivers, you know, day after day, and the same with the warehouse and central supply area. There are a few suppliers. The only time it would be somebody new is hiring new drivers.
But sorry to interrupt. It seems to me that what you're proposing with this development is an increase in space or cars coming and going. I mean, it seems like there's more buildings to me, but maybe I'm.
It's not really an increase in terms of traffic. We are already doing all of the kinds of training that I'm talking about. It's a matter of increasing the training facilities available to us so that we have a tactical village, so that we have some additional classroom space and we can spread people out a bit more. You take advantage of technology in those classrooms instead of a basic flat classroom that you're trying to adapt.
Right. No, I'm just, you know, and part of, I think, the discussion is the consideration we have to not only what it's currently being used for, because it looks like you propose some nice signage and you want it to be there for more than 5 years, probably. You know, you're going to, so looking maybe 20 years down the road, you know, we may be talking about a bigger place. I'm just saying that seems to be, you know, what my fellow board members are asking about, but it could be.
Certainly we're building this facility to last the next 50 or 70 years.
Yes.
As
right.
The current facility has.
Right.
But I'm hearing that this is expanding. I'm hearing this is expanding not to increase the total number of people at the academy, but rather to enhance the facilities available to those currently part of the academy.
And other municipalities who might come on and use.
They already are.
Yeah. Oh, okay.
That's what I'm saying. They already are.
So you're not looking to increase volume of people using the academy. You're just
increase in traffic count. Number of people up there on the hill. What I'm saying is they're crammed in right now into classrooms that are too small for what we're trying to do. And it doesn't afford us the same luxury of doing scenario-based training.
Right.
It limits us to some classroom academic training
right.
and then going off-site for
right.
the scenario stuff.
And I'm not being critical at all. I'm just trying to think what the concerns are.
I think I heard you say that there'll be 300 dormitory rooms in that building. Is that correct? So how does that compare to what's there now in terms of dormitories?
It's a larger number of rooms, but they're individual rooms. Currently, they're double occupancy rooms, so it's a comparable number of people that can reside there, just a little different facility. Again, we're trying to look to the future. So we're making it more like a college dormitory. Each room will have its own private bathroom. It allows us to address a few things. One of the issues that really confronts us with, what about a transgender cadet? Or right now we don't have the facilities to accommodate someone like that. So what we're trying to do is address those kinds of concerns, allow privacy and afford privacy for any of the attendees that are training, but really have a comparable occupancy rate for what we have.
Right. Okay. I was trying to understand whether the number of people staying there and not traveling on and off was going to change from not substantially.
To give you some idea, we have bay rooms that can put 5 or 6 people in one room. We have all the other rooms are double occupancy. The restrooms have large group showers. It was built in the late 1950s. And it was built. There were no female members of the Pennsylvania State Police when it was built. That wasn't a consideration. And so now we've had to adapt some parts of the dormitory area. And it limits us then on how many females can you have in a class, because we only have a certain number of dormitory rooms that we can separate them out so that they're not sharing the group shower with the
Well, male. Thank you for expanding and making it more inclusive. But for the sign purposes,
yes.
Do we have any more questions?
Yeah, you've answered my question, which is really not going to have a substantial change in the number of people staying on site. Okay. Great. Any other questions on?
No,
on this.
Could I just ask a question? Could you just clarify the measurements for the signs that you're proposing and a little slower than you did before?
Yeah, and don't round them off, please, because what we put in order is needs to be specific.
So for signs 01 and 02, which are the signs on at the intersection of Hershey Park Drive and State Police Drive and Swatara Road and State Police Drive, respectively, the horizontal dimension, maximum horizontal dimension, is 15 foot 5 and 7 eighths, and the height is 5 foot 1. For sign 3, which is
that's five foot one inch?
5 foot 1 inch.
Okay, not 5.1 feet.
5 foot 1 inch.
Okay.
And for the sign, and I'm sorry, and the area of those two signs is 72.57 square feet. For sign 3, it is 10 foot 0 inches long and 4 foot 0 inches tall, and it has an area of 36.45 square feet.
Thank you.
That's the ground sign?
We are submitting three. All three of these as
freestanding.
Sorry, as freestanding.
The first two are freestanding.
I'm sorry. And my apologies. The third one is a ground sign.
So I just want to confirm.
They're not all freestanding now?
Yeah, we're showing these all as freestanding.
David had this one listed as ground sign in our
yes.
Packet.
A ground sign is a sign that at its maximum height is 4 feet from the ground. A freestanding sign is 4 feet 1 inches tall to 8 feet tall. So that's where the differentiation comes into play.
So sign three, because of its height, is a ground sign.
Be a ground sign, yes.
Okay, so.
And that is seeking a variance of 36.45 square feet.
It would be
4.4.
I'm sorry, a total proposed
of 36.45 square feet
versus the permitted 24.
Yes.
Okay. And it's wider. Permitted is 8 feet. Mr. Brock, can you tell me what the width is?
And the width is 10 foot 0 inches.
Which 10 foot 0 inches is permissible for a ground sign. So that sign only, to break it down, the two freestanding signs are seeking a variance for the width, the horizontal dimension, and the total sign area. The ground sign, the solo ground sign, which will be on Kiefer, is only seeking a variance for the total sign area.
What I'm trying to get to is what the actual relief requested is. So 12.45 on sign 3, the ground sign, is seeking relief of 12.45 feet.
Correct.
On area. Yeah, square feet. Right.
And there's nothing on the height needed
right.
or width. On signs 1 and 2 together, permitted is 32.
Yep.
And you're seeking 72.57.
Yes, and that is 40.57 square feet of relief.
And the width?
8.
Maximum permitted horizontal face for a freestanding sign is 8 feet, so the variance would be 7 feet, 5 and 7 eighths inch.
Okay, so if I can just repeat this, not to be redundant, but to make sure that we have it.
Yep.
On signs 1 and 2, you're seeking relief to the width of 7 feet, 5 and 7 eighths inches?
Correct.
And the total area of 40.57 feet?
Correct.
On sign 3, the ground sign, you're seeking relief of 12.45 feet for the area?
Correct.
Do you have that, Megan?
I did. Yes,
thank you.
And height's not an issue for either one because of the way they're classified. Okay. There you go. Okay.
I'm good with that one.
I'll just ask any of the board members or David, are there any other aspects here that we need to make sure were have been addressed by the applicant in terms of, well, on the sign, if we can finish up on the sign, relative to the sign, because I know our sign regulations can be pretty complicated. Is there anything else that the applicant needs to have put on the record here that they have not already done so?
No.
That you're aware of. Okay, thank you. Okay, so let's move on then to the...
Can I just say
just
one thing?
Just for the record, we've been working closely with Mr. Emmerich and Mr. Habig in all of the stages of that. Right, Mr. Habig is kind enough to calculate the square footage the way that they calculated, so that's why we have the revised that we just submitted.
And have you submitted the revised calculations electronically to David?
No, because I just got them today, but we can make sure that happens tomorrow.
Could you do that? Because I'm having trouble reading them, and I can blow them up if they're on my computer. Thank you. Thank you.
Okay, great. So let's move on then to the communication.
Let me just give you a little background, and then we can go from there because the major already did some of it. If you can zoom in on the American Water Tower, yeah, just go a little bit north of that, just a touch. There you go. So the ordinance requires that if a tower falls, that it's at least that height before you do anything, you hit any buildings or whatever. So we're talking from the edge of the American Water property, which is right around that blue tower, going north. Roughly maybe 125, 130 feet. We'll give it to you exactly. But that's where, just so you have an overview, that's where the tower is proposed. And it will be off of what we will be calling North Drive, which is the road we'll be creating from Kiefer. So for most purposes with the tower, that's the access road. But we'll have testimony that there's really not much. But I just wanted to give you the site so you had some idea. With that, I think I'm just going to get real simple and ask Mr. Stuck to come up and talk about the cattle if he could. And,
sure.
And also, Vince is going to, I wanted you to do the overview. Vince will show the sheet that we handed out.
Absolutely. Now, good evening, board. I have a ton of answers here. I'm just not sure which questions you want to ask.
Okay.
I can do an overview of the tower, where it's located. I think we have already addressed that. The main purpose of the tower is going to provide transportation of communications from our building. It's closer to Sioka Honda. If you are familiar with that, there's a Troop H building there, and we have a tower there. So we're going to transmit a microwave signal from that location over towards this tower. The reason we need it to be 120 feet is to provide enough clearance for the microwave path. Let's see, we did a survey of the landscape or the geographical terrain, and just northwest of the site.
By the way, does the board, do you have the what we submitted, David, for you? Oh, okay. Let you guys see this.
Is there something more? Okay.
We have drawings that show the comparison of the existing tower and all of that. So we don't have an electronic version.
What was on the impression of special acceptance with the planning of this? What was on the impression of special acceptance with the planning?
Okay, sure. And part of the reason that the tower needs to be 120 feet is to get the microwave signal from this tower to our other tower near our BCIS office.
Which, may I just clarify, so is out like Route 22 and 39
and 22, correct? Yes, and let's see, approximately. And it's a 4.9 mile link from this tower to our other tower. and it's probably about a half a mile from this location. Northwest, we have an obstruction of 50 feet elevation. That's ground elevation. So we have 50 feet ground elevation plus 60 feet of trees. So we have, and this isn't, and I apologize, I don't have this information submitted. This is just something that we put together today. But everyone wants to know, you know, why does the tower have to be so high? For various reasons.
Can I ask you a question maybe before you go into it? So is this communication happen currently, but off of an antenna off that water tower that's coming down or not?
We have two different forms of structures that we use for antennas. The first one is an older 60-foot tower.
Okay.
That's right next to the academy, the existing academy, that will have to be brought down.
Okay.
It does not provide a microwave path between there and our other office. Currently, we would have to use either telco, or it's a telephone copper line, or a fiber line,
okay.
And those are very expensive to make that connection. So we're going to use microwave. And then the water tank that is going to be removed,
mm-hmm.
On that water tank, and I do believe there's pictures of that. Up near the top, there's a railing that you can attach antennas to.
Right. If the board looks at this document, it's in the lower right-hand corner.
It's a sheet number.
Yes, DAUP08C61RO drawing. What it looks like. And we have what the existing tower, what the existing tower site is, and what the new one is.
What sheet number was that again, please?
This one. That's one. It's the last one.
Okay.
No, that's fine.
I have no idea.
Near the top of that water tank is a railing that we would put antennas on, and it would also be the place where we would install a microwave dish if that tank was going to stay there. Unfortunately, the tank is going away, so we need something to replace the elevation. On the sheet that you were looking at, and I believe if you have the same one that we had, there's a reference to where the proposed tower is in relationship to the water tank.
Mm-hmm. That this.
Yes. Yeah. Yes. Very
C3
good. Thank you.
At the bottom.
You'll see that the overall structure height, and when you take in consideration elevation difference of ground elevation, is going to be about the same. So we're not asking for anything way above of what's there already. And then this water tank and tower elevation comparison, it also gives you a representation of what's being taken down and what's being proposed. The overall mass of mm-hmm. the tank is much greater than what we're asking to put in place. The other thing that we've done is the tower that we're proposing is a low-profile tower. It's only 13 feet wide at the base. Typically, a tower this height is 24 feet. We've taken into account of where this is located. We don't want it to be an eyesore any more than it has to be. Not everybody loves towers. I mean, we're in the tower business, the communication business. We appreciate what the towers can do, but we do know that there are some folks that may not. And so we've tried to reduce the footprint, the overall view of the tower to its minimum. And the size of this tower is going to be constructed to not only support what we need to put on it, but it also has room for growth. Because of the communication requirements at the academy, we're going to be able to provide not only communications for the academy itself, but we're also going to provide communication for the surrounding area on the VHF system. It's the new PSP system that we have in place. It provides communication for troopers. It also provides communication for 20-some state agencies that use the same system. So it's not just the benefit of the academy, but also the surrounding area. We have another individual here.
That's fine. That was exactly what I wanted.
Yes.
Just show it to them so they can follow.
Yeah, and I believe that was sheet C3. That was the tower and the tank side by side. Do we have any questions while we're on this sheet before we jump around?
I did have a question. How far did you say you were from Sioka Honda? You had said how many miles?
It's about 4.9.
Okay, thank you.
Is that true, point to point, or like as the crow flies for communication?
As the crow flies.
And you said there was an elevation difference between the Sioka.
Yeah,
the site near Sioka Troop F or Troop H. I'm sorry.
When we make reference to Sioka Honda, that's where BCIS, that's the Bureau of Communication Information Services, that's where our building is, and that's where.
Okay.
The brains of the whole radio system are centered.
What did BCIS stand for?
BCIS, Bureau of Communications and Information Services.
Thank you.
And what's your position with BCIS?
I'm a site development and maintenance manager.
You can proceed.
Okay. Field additional questions when it... as it pertains to the water tank. I'm sorry, going back to the elevation, from this location to BCIS, there is an obstruction of 50 feet in between this tower and our other tower. So that means that we have a difference of 50 feet, and if you take into account any trees in that way, we've got to get that microwave dish high enough to clear all of that. So we have a tower at the other end, fortunately. So, I mean, if we go up high on the tower at that end and relatively high on this tower, we'll be able to make that microwave connection with no problem. The other reason that we need to keep the tower this height is for the antennas that go at the top. We have a transmit and a receive antenna. And one of the reasons, before somebody asks, if you've asked or considered monopoles or, other types of towers, the problem with that is that the radio signal can't transmit or go through those types of towers. But with an open lattice tower like this, the antenna signals can go through there with no problem. We have to keep those antennas high enough so that when they do propagate the area, that it is going out over that water tank that is going to stay there. So we want to make sure that we're clear of any additional obstructions in the vicinity.
And Mr. Stuck, just to clarify for the board as well, there's a whole network of communications for the state police and towers and cross country, correct?
Correct.
And this would fit in with that.
Correct.
So how much higher from the current obstruction of the tree line will this be?
This would be 70 feet higher. Oh, I'm not sure. The tree line... we're talking, it's going to be close, the very top of the tower is going to be close to the existing tree line, but when you take into account that the microwave dish at the other end will also come up, then we clear that path with very little problem.
Okay. I'm probably going to sound incredibly ignorant on this because I just don't understand enough about towers, but as the trees grow, that going to create a need to...
They do. Great question. And all of that is taken into account when they look at the requested tower height? And so then we also have chainsaws also. We can take care of those trees.
So the tower, as shown in this sheet, C3, that is as it would appear with whatever attachments are at the top to receive and send the microwave signals in?
It does not have the antennas or the dish on here.
So there's additional things that you would see at the top of this.
I'm sorry?
There's additional hardware that you would see at the top of this.
Yeah, the square at the top would be a light.
Mm-hmm.
And then it looks like an antenna off to the side. That's a lightning rod.
Okay. So you're saying it'll be a microwave dish?
Yes, a microwave dish no bigger than 6 feet. Which would be just a little bit bigger than the face of the tower that's pictured here.
And that would attach to the side then of this structure, or
correct? Yes.
So it's not going to project above the elevation that you're showing here.
Correct. It would not.
And you said are there additional antennas as well?
The other antennas would be near the top. But because this is going to be, we file all of our towers with the FAA, we will file this for probably like 130, I think. And we have done that, we've done it with PennDOT already, the Bureau of Aviation. We filed that one and received a favorable reply from them. It does not interfere with any aviation issues. So we're talking 130 feet. We're not going to exceed that for any antennas, even a stick antenna, which is, I mean, when you look at it, it's going to be very similar to what that lightning rod is. It may have a couple attachments to it, and I don't want to, try to describe what those antennas mm-hmm. look like other than a stick antenna. And it's not going to, like I said, stick much up further than the lightning rod.
Okay. Yeah, I just, David, maybe you can clarify then. So what does our regulation say about how the measurement is, how is that measurement taken, and are we talking about a approval then of 123 feet, I think I saw? And does that include or not include these stick antennas and the dish and so on that Mr. Stuck is describing, or are we really talking a different number?
According to the paperwork on the screen, we would view that height at 123 feet, which includes the lightning rod. So if any additional antennas were to be placed on it that go higher than the lightning rod, that would be the new height of the tower. So it's wherever the highest point of any antenna attached to the tower is the height of the tower.
Okay. Do you measure that, David?
No. No.
Yeah, so I think we need some clarity then the antennas are going to be.
Having heard Mr. Habig and understanding those issues, we will ensure that nothing exceeds the 123-foot mark. Okay. There is no operational need at this time to extend any antenna or microwave dish beyond that point, so we will stay within that 123-foot threshold.
Okay. So the 130 was just to make sure you had no issues with the FAA?
Correct.
Okay.
Correct.
The lighting on this particular tower, there's certain FAA, Federal Aviation Administration standards. How will the lighting on this tower compare to the minimum standards by the FAA?
The FAA does not require this tower to be lit or painted, but because of the occasional helicopter activity around this facility, we are going to light it. And it will be a dual mode lighting That means that there is going to be a medium intensity red beacon at night and a medium intensity white light during the day. And it will be monitored 24/7, the operation of the light. So when there are issues, if something's malfunctioning, our network operation center knows it right away. Worst thing can happen is a white strobe flash at night and wake up the cadets, and we don't want that happening.
And just to confirm, you mentioned earlier in the testimony that when everything is completed, there's not going to be through access at the academy as well. So from an accessibility perspective with a tower like this, no one would be able to drive straight through the campus and have access to this tower? But not coming in, like, public entrances or anything.
Can you go over that it complies with the tower fall zone radius?
Absolutely. Yes, I'm not going right there. It shows that the dotted circle around the tower site is the fall zone. If something would happen to the tower, it is not going to hit any structure, current structure or fence that's in place.
Is there any routine maintenance that the
Yes, all the towers, because it's public safety grade, is maintained to a higher standard. So we inspect the towers on a yearly basis. They climb them. This one would be every 5 years, but from the ground it's done on a quarterly basis to ensure everything is, all the bolts are where they're supposed to be and nothing is falling down.
I'm sorry, did you mean you climb that every year or every 5 years?
They climb it every 5 years to do a major inspection. And that isn't with the TIA 222-H standard. That's an industry standard for maintaining tower structures.
David, do we need to go through this special exception use criteria line by line, or is this being entered into the record?
Are you talking about the exhibit?
Yes. Okay. Am I jumping ahead?
Okay, yeah. That's what I was just starting to look at, too. Okay.
It's a nice segue.
Good evening, Board. My name is Vince Ugaluro. I am a radio telecommunications specialist, too, with the State Police. As Mr. Stuck stated, we are proposing to construct a 120-foot communications tower in place of the water tower, which is 129-foot that will be coming down, as well as the 70-foot tower that sits alongside the Academy building, which will be coming down. As 225-502.5, do you want me to go line by line and respond to these, or how do we go?
No, that's what I wanted to confirm, that we could enter this into the record because they've clearly...
Mm-hmm. Yes, we can.
There is one section of the ordinance that I'd like...
Just for the record, you prepared this document, is that correct?
That is correct.
And it's true to the best of your knowledge, is that correct?
Yes.
Why don't you cover the couple of points that you do need to tell them?
Yeah, okay. And just to clarify, so these notations here are your notations, not the township... staff's look.
Correct,
position.
Sir. Okay. I prepared the responses.
Great.
In red.
Okay.
Yes.
I just want to be clear.
I just wanted to touch on 225-502.5 and Section G and number 3. It states that there are evergreen screenings required around the tower. The Pennsylvania State Police, as a matter of security, discourages use of evergreen screenings. The reason for this is primarily security. Actors can hide and commit various crimes, and we have cadets that will be jogging in that area, as well as other personnel, and it just creates a security risk for not only the personnel but the tower that will be there that is broadcasting public critical public safety communications.
So the Pennsylvania State Police do not intend to put an evergreen screen around this on the campus of the police academy, is that correct?
That is correct.
Can we just clarify one thing, though? So this applies to ancillary communications equipment, not the tower itself. So is there like a building or anything else associated with the communications that's ancillary to the tower?
Yes.
And where is that?
So as you can see here, there'll be some radio equipment cabinets.
Yep.
The whole tower facility area will be fenced in with an 8-foot fence, an 8-foot high fence. So what the ordinance states, and I may be misunderstanding it, and I apologize, but what it states here is that you have to have evergreen screening around the ancillary equipment and fence.
And you're just saying you're not, right?
Yeah. David, is it?
Because of what you said.
Well, because it poses a security risk. We discourage the use of evergreen screenings.
Right. Okay. But this whole section G is related to the ancillary equipment, not the tower itself, correct?
And the fence. Yeah.
Well, the fence that you're talking about a fence that's around 120 something feet away from the tower, correct?
No, the fence would actually be, if you take a look here at.
Yeah, I'm sorry. I just have too many drawings in front of me at this point that I've not seen, so I'm trying to follow you. So
this particular drawing here, the fence is indicated around the tower and the ancillary equipment.
Okay.
So what I was interpreting the ordinance was saying that we needed to have evergreen screenings around that fence.
Right.
There.
Okay. Understood. All right. Now I'm clear. Yeah, I thought there was a fence that was wider out than that.
If you look at site plan 3, which is the call-out village and the location of the tower.
Hold on, let us get to that, please.
Jogging walking trail, is that correct?
That's correct.
And that would come within mere feet of the communications tower, is that correct?
That is correct.
So that's the reason why the state police would not want evergreens or bushes around that, because literally cadets that are using that, especially if they're a female running alone, might be susceptible to somebody hiding in those evergreens. You have to say it.
Yes, that's correct.
For the record.
So do we just need to note that the request for the special exception includes
the waiver of
G3?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yes, that's correct.
Yeah, okay.
That was the only relief I was proposing on the special exception ordinance, and besides the tower height.
Okay. And just so we can get the right coverage here in the write-up. So the trees that would be put there, if they were put there, would they even be visible from off-site?
Yeah. Probably not.
Will the fence be visible from off-site?
I mean, it depends on what angle of the site we're talking about, but from the front, more than likely not.
All right, thank you.
I have no questions.
Yeah, so let's just, rather than go through all of these, any other questions? Okay. Okay.
Thanks.
Thank you.
Have any further questions, we're happy to answer them. Otherwise, that's all we have.
No, I think you stated this, but just again, just to be clear, since we talked about a lot of different things, so I want to make sure that the number in terms of the height that we're talking about, that we're totally clear on
the
that.
123 feet.
123
we've
feet.
We calculated, yeah, and the one drawing that showed the 123-foot clearing zone was because it includes that 3-foot lightning rod on top.
Right, okay. So the
structure itself is 120 and then 3 more feet for that, so we go with 123.
Okay. And all attachments will be within that 123 feet is what I heard
that
you say.
That is correct. Yeah, we're not going to vary. And these are built by the state police themselves. It's a little different than the project, which, we build the buildings, but this particular communications tower is wholly done by the state police itself. So they do these all over the state. This is not an unusual thing that these gentlemen do. And they do communicate all across the state with the state police network. And we've already covered why the height is necessary to hit the first tower, which is up by off of Route 22.
Okay. Unless there's any other questions from the board?
I have something.
Yes, go ahead.
With respect to the request for the special exception, the section 225.502 specific criteria for special exception uses, are you incorporating your application into the record that went through those specific criteria?
Yes. Okay. Thank you, Ms. Huff.
Okay.
Thank you,
so, again, the board has 45 days to render a decision in both of these cases. And oh, yeah, hold on. I'm sorry. Are there any members of the public here? Yes, please. Come on. Again, we need your full name, please, and then we need to swear you in before you start testimony.
I'm sorry.
We need your full name, and we need to swear you in before you start testifying, please.
Yep,
and address.
My name is Dan Panchik. P-A-N-C-H-I-K. And we live over on Front Street, but we own the property adjacent on Swatara Road. We own 341 and 343 Laudermilk Road as well. And
I'm sorry, what were those addresses?
The address? Yeah. 341 and 343 Laudermilch Road we own.
Thank you.
And so,
but Mr. Panchik, can you just state the Front Street, your residential
Our residence, we live at 950 Front Street, Hershey, Pennsylvania. Yes. Yes.
Okay. Thank you.
Okay.
You can proceed.
I had questions about the signage on Swatara Road, if that was going to be lit at all, if that signage is going to have lighting to it. So, because we're, I don't know if you can pull up our property there. So we're, that square right there, that big square, that's the circular driveway to that property. Duplex, and so it's kind of the Hershey Trust owns everything else, the Hershey Cemetery right around it. Yeah. So my question is of the lighting on the signage from Swatara Road. So I think that's sign 2 that you were talking about. What that light's going to look like at night. And so I just had a question about that. Not
okay. Yeah. Is there something there?
Yeah. Can you come up so that they can hear you on the, we're recording it?
You don't
oh, sure. No, yep, absolutely. Yep.
Yes, the plan was to light that sign with some low-level illumination from the ground that would only light to, as minimal as possible, to only light the face of the sign.
Okay. All right. And you answered my question with the lighting. That I since the tower is going to be less than 200 feet, so it's not going to be required to have lighting. But apparently, they're going to put lighting on anyway. Okay. And is the tower only is there going to be any leasing to like wireless carriers, or is the tower only for state business and state police business?
The Commonwealth does on occasion enter into leases
If that's a possibility, then but the tower's primarily going to be used for police business.
100% for
police business.
Exactly.
Okay.
And that's why
okay.
the height is
okay.
what it's at. It's not uh-huh. to accommodate mm-hmm. any third parties. It's to accommodate the state police.
Okay. All right. If it was... Okay, with that answer, that, my other question then is irrelevant. So,
okay.
yeah. And on the... Was the zoning for the conservative zoning for part of the what was purchased from the trust, the additional land that was zoned conservative zoning, and now it's already changed to planned campus north zoning?
Yes, sir. What happened was when the Commonwealth acquired all of the parcels as a part of that acquisition, the entire north part of the campus that was acquired. David, if you can just shoot down a little bit and show them the other ones. So for the board, literally from the north side of what would be State Police Museum Drive mm-hmm. all the way up and then all the way across here to the left from the American Water Tank over would have all been Hershey Trust land. So the Commonwealth purchased those recently within the last year and a half. And that entire tract was rezoned planned campus north. Then. They asked me, the lawyer, to get involved, and I'm like, well, why didn't we do the front two? So the township has just finished rezoning the front two parcels on Hershey Park Drive to also be planned campus north, because part of that new building was going to go into a conservation district, and for obvious reasons, you don't want to have a building split into two zoning districts. So the whole campus is now planned campus north. From Hershey Park Drive to Lottomillock Road, back to
okay. This is just an additional question I had, but it's not related to our property. But the first entrance is shared entrance with the with the Penn State Health main office. That's their main entrance.
Yes.
But that sign's on the other side of the driveway,
which
that your
Penn
shared
State
driveway.
Yeah. yeah. Penn State
okay.
Health owns, if you're looking going up State
right.
Police Drive, they own to the left,
mm-hmm.
State Police owns to the right.
Okay. All right. I think all my questions, I was going to ask if, but I think all my, I don't think I'm going to ask for any party status or any extra communication. I think all my questions were answered. It sounds like a great, great plan, so. All right, thanks.
Thank you.
Okay, yeah, thank you for coming. Are there any other members of the public that wish to speak? Please come to the podium.
Good evening.
Again, please give your full name, your address.
My full name is Daniel Hess. My address is 1040 Swatara Road, Hershey, Pennsylvania. I did. A lot of the information running around here tonight was new to my ears, so I'm trying to piece things together. I'd like to point out my residence, which is just north of where the state police are proposing their supply center. I'm at the very top of that hill and right out by the street. The lowest building, right there, you got it. There is one house closer to the academy than I, and that house sits down in a valley, and they're safeguarded by sound quite a bit. As far as the tower, am I correct in assuming that tank is coming down?
The water tower tank,
yeah,
the old blue one. Yes, it's coming down.
If
they're going to put the major testified, an auditorium, outdoor auditorium.
Right, right. With that tank coming down, where they're proposing the new antenna would be in the eyesight of my property. I have absolutely no problem with that. They need, as they indicated, a way to get their signals out to the 39 and 22 area at their barracks. I think that would be a lot nicer to look at than the tank. The land has been neglected over the years. Now that the state police own it, I'm sure it's going to start looking a little bit better. It's going to be more manicured. It's going to be more buildings, but in the same token, it's going to improve my property. Where he has the screen right now, you're just about in front of my house, looking down Swatara Road. And if you would continue straight on Swatara and into that field, that's where I suspect the state is proposing the road to serve the service center. The tower is actually, if it's where I think it's going, is probably going to be hidden by the trees.
Straight up, yeah, that's North Drive. And then the tower's right there.
Okay.
And closer to the water tower.
Where am I at?
Straight up.
Up here.
Straight up that road.
So down here, that Kiefer is a cluster of trees. That cluster of trees is probably going to block your tower eyesight from my property.
From your house, yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
And there's a cluster of about 14 houses up there. I'm the nearest to the academy.
Where's the cluster of trees? Can you show us, Dave?
Pardon me?
I said
a cluster of houses, right?
I thought you said there was also some trees that hid the view.
There you go. Left.
Yeah. If you come up
triangle.
The hill, and you come to my property.
And is that triangle owned by the state police?
Yeah, if you look,
it's north of Kiefer.
And look toward where the tower is going to go, there's that triangle in the
I
road.
See. Okay.
That has mature trees in it. And that, I think, is about going to line right up with the tower that I'm not going to know it's there. The one issue that I do have with an entranceway into the academy's property there is Kiefer Road needs some serious mm-hmm. attention. It's been neglected for years. There's patch after patch after patch and new potholes, and the berm is broken down. It absolutely needs some attention if there's going to be any more traffic on that road. It's bad enough now when I try to travel it and there's nobody else coming. That road is also starting to be used by your work traffic going from the Palmyra area, Hershey, Harrisburg, whatever. They use Kiefer Road as a shortcut. And that road just simply cannot handle that traffic in the condition that it's in. So that, I would assume, would be a township endeavor, but needs to be addressed. As far as the signs that I've heard testified about, the one there on Kiefer Road, I don't see any issue at all with. The one at Swatara and 743 area, can you bring that intersection up for me? When you come in 743 from Route 22, you're going south on 743 headed toward Hershey. As you come up on that intersection that's shown right there now, and you start to make a turn, you have a split second to make that left and go into the lane. I know, and the neighbors know up there, that when we come down that road to enter 743, there can be one car at the stop sign, the next car sits back, so that state vehicles coming south on 743 can hang a right in their immediate left. Mm-hmm. If we pulled forward, we got a traffic jam.
Mm-hmm.
So I'd like to see some kind of an improvement there. But I also think the sign that gets placed there needs to be big and eye-catching. one of the issues that I come across occasionally is people looking for the museum. They're sitting halfway on several different roads. I pull up, and you can see bewilderment on them. I ask them if they need help, and they ask about the museum. So even though there's a sign there, it does not serve its purpose for the area. And
Mr. Hess, may I just ask you a question? So tonight it was testified that it's going to be like a 5-foot-high metallic silver illuminated sign compared to what's there now. Are you saying that that would be acceptable because it would be provide a lot more visibility and direction than what's there? So you don't have any issue with what was proposed this evening?
It helps the motoring public realize that that's where the museum is instead of sitting in the middle of a busy intersection.
Yeah, no, I understand. I use that road almost every day as a cut through because I live near there, so I have a fully vested interest in not publicizing Swatara Road because that's a very well-known, you know, local secret, but but I just wanted to make sure that what was proposed, you're saying you will not have a problem with, and that would satisfy the things that you wanted to see.
I would have a problem if they aren't permitted to put a significant sign.
So you're in support of the sign? Okay, and thank you.
As far as part of your comment, there's about 14 houses in that little cluster. Nobody knew we were there, and we loved it. Too many people know we're there now, and they start using our road.
Yeah, there has been a lot more traffic.
But the other sign proposal on Hershey Park Drive, again, there you have the outlets. You have a vacation building. I don't know what you call it. And if you actually look at the road is in a slight bend, and the Academy driveway goes up at a point where people that aren't familiar with the area aren't seeing the sign that sits there right now until they're on it. Now, what do they do? You know, make a wild turn or, you know, very few people have the common sense to continue down the road, turn safely, and come back. They're going to hang a U-ey, they're going to cut you off, or whatever it takes. So, taking into consideration that all three of these sign locations sit nowhere close to a building on their side of the road, and it's nothing but foliage and fields and hills, why not take advantage of a big sign that draws attention for the purpose that you want it for? So, I have to, agree with their request there as far as being a local property owner. Are all three signs going to be illuminated?
They're all going to be identical, just one in the back is smaller, but they'll all be illuminated the same way.
And if I can ask, is there a reason why the one at Swatara and 743 includes the words Police Academy and not just say State Police?
Can't Museum? Access it. The reason is the only thing that you can get to from that road will be the State Police Museum. There's no need right now, as we testified. You can go from Hershey Park Drive, go up, drive through the whole campus, and come back down on the Lodmont.
Yeah.
That won't exist anymore. Only emergency vehicles will be allowed to do that.
Well, then would it be better on the sign at Swatara and 743 to exclude the word Police Academy and put Police Museum, State Police Museum? The old academy was built in 1959. I've lived in the area my entire life. And to me, nothing replaces common sense. Best degree you get doesn't replace it. But there, I think, with the tourism, people coming in 743 South, all of a sudden right there is where the museum is. They don't see it far in advance. In fact, they can't even see the museum from 743. So there, if the sign was more explicit, indicating that this is the way you go for the museum, it would eliminate a lot of confusion. Because now people are seeing it, and some of their remarks to me is, oh, I didn't know if we were allowed to go up there because that's the state police. Well, while they're debating that, you have the rest of the motoring traffic trying to not get killed. So, it's also used, people will come out 743 or off of Hershey Park Drive. They'll make a left onto Swatara and an immediate left into the State Police Academy driveway. And then they'll try to turn around and come back out to the stop sign. So those kind of issues, I don't know how they're going to be resolved, but that's something that could be taken into consideration at this point while things can still be done. Like I said, the tower, I have absolutely no problem with whatsoever. It'll look a heck of a lot better than that water tower. So, and then one thing, and I'll probably get shot out on this quickly, but with the new academy, there needs to be a bunker built.
We can't get into that right now. Okay. Please, sir, this is not the forum for that. And it, we can talk on separate because the board's already pushing 8:15 here.
That may be, but we were speaking about the academy itself and everything, and I'm merely getting the word out in a public meeting needs to be a bunker. I'm 600 yards away from their shooting range. I'm taking the muzzle end of their pistols and rifles, and I have no problem with that. I do have a problem when they're detonating bombs 600 yards from my house.
Yeah, let me just so you're clear as far as what this board's jurisdiction is. That's probably an issue. If you want to bring that issue up, I would bring it up with these gentlemen, and I'd also, you can bring it up with our township supervisors. This board, our jurisdiction is really
I realize
the sign.
That's why I said I know I'd get shot
right.
down.
No, it's okay.
It's going to be something everybody hears.
Yeah, our jurisdiction is about the sign and the
so
tower.
Noted.
Yeah, we can't do anything about those other issues for you.
And I just, to qualify my attitude, and I don't say it for a pat on the back or anything else, I went through the academy in 1974 in a municipal class. I served 29 years here in Derry Township as a platoon commander and chief firearms instructor. I know what these guys are dealing with, and I'm behind them 100% if we get the bunker.
Well, it sounds like you'd be talking the same language, so you may want to. Okay.
All right. Thank you, Mr.
Continue to happen. Okay.
All right.
It needs done. That's all I can think of that I have. Everything I heard them testifying to, I'm in total agreement with.
Okay. All right. Well, thank you for your testimony.
I just have to add one thing, Ms. Drew. I'm native of Hershey, and my mother taught me to drive in 1972 at the cemetery, and the first road that I was ever drove on was Swatara Road. So it's
where I learned to drive a stick shift.
Near and dear to my heart, I learned to drive there. So anyway. Is there any further questions from the board? Otherwise,
I don't see any other members of the public. So, any other questions? No. I think.
Thank you.
Thank you good. All. So the board has 45 days
Understood,
to render a
sir.
Decision. And you have 30 days to appeal if you're aggrieved.
And we'll have electronic version sent to David.
Okay. Thank you.
Yeah, thanks a lot.
Thank you.
Okay. So I think we had one other item of business tonight. We don't have to. Somebody can make
can we move to table that discussion to the next meeting?
I will second that motion.
Well, actually, if I could hold on that motion. David, do we know how many applications have been submitted for the next meeting?
We haven't hit the deadline yet, right? Because we're 5 weeks out.
The deadline is next week. As of now, we have less than one.
Okay, then I would move to table to the next
you
meeting.
Have one possible.
I want to make sure we don't have
zero.
Six next week.
Yeah. Zero. Less
yeah, knock on wood.
I didn't know what less than one meant. Okay, so right now we have zero, so.
So
I've
then
heard, I've heard a motion.
I would move to table to the next meeting.
To the next minute. I heard a second from.
I just didn't want to table Sandy. It if the next meeting is going to be long because it'll die.
Okay, any discussion? No. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Any opposed? Nay. Okay, so we're going
to
table.
I move to adjourn.
Table that.
Second.
Yep, thank you.
Oh, no. He can wait.
Oh, okay. Okay.
And you second
suit. To adjourn? No, Sandy seconded other business. To move the other business.
Everybody
other business
for
the next
which
month.
One? I moved to table and Sandy second. Sandy moved to adjourn.
Yes.
I second.
And you okay.
All any discussion? No. All in favor?
Aye.
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 All right. Okay. All right. We are adjourned.
All right.
Okay.
Hey, we have to
yeah, we have to